I would like you to turn with me, please, to verse 37 of the passage that we read in Luke chapter 1, the words of the angel Gabriel, who said, "For with God nothing will be impossible." Now this morning I want to talk to you about the ministry of angels, or in particular one angel, the one who appears in this chapter, the angel Gabriel. His name means God is mighty. And there are only two angels mentioned by name in the Bible. The other one is Michael, the prince of the people of Israel. His name means who is like God. Now, we know in the Bible that we read of multitudes of angels in the heavenly places. There are cherubim, seraphim, angels, archangels, principalities and powers, both good and bad. Now, all of the angels were originally good, but Satan was lifted up with pride, and he fell, he was cast out of heaven. And as he was cast out, he drew a third part of heaven with him, it says in Revelation. In other words, he did not sin alone. He drew many away with him in his rebellion. And so now we have warfare in the heavenly places. Warfare between the angels of God and the evil angels, the demons, the devils. Michael, amongst them, he seems to be a heavenly warrior, fighting with Satan and contending with him. Gabriel is a heavenly messenger sent to explain the purposes of God. And he did so, we read, to Daniel in the book of Daniel, and here in this chapter to Zacharias and to Mary. All the holy angels are ministering spirits, and they're sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation. So, just around us and amongst us and looking down upon us, are the angels of God, and fighting against us too are the demons, and we are involved in a heavenly battle, a battle against the forces of evil and the power of God. And amongst and here on earth, we are involved in that. And Gabriel, in the working out of God's purposes, he was sent to bring a message to Zacharias and a message to Mary. Gabriel and Zacharias, what happened here? Well, in verse 19, we read Gabriel said, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings." But Zacharias did not believe the angel's words. And as we read, he was rebuked and chastised by being made mute or dumb for at least 9 months. He was unable to speak. He had to communicate with people by writing things down and making signs. But he was he disbelieved the angel's message. Now, he should have believed, because he was a priest and he was therefore well versed in the history of God's dealings with his people, with Israel. And he should have known that the angel's message to him, that in his old age his wife would conceive and bear a child, it had happened before. It wasn't completely a new thing. This had happened most notably with Abraham and with Sarah. They were granted their son in their son with at a time when they were both past it, past age, past childbearing. It had happened before, and it had happened to their great hero, Abraham. So Zacharias would know about such things. But then Samuel's mother, Hannah, we don't know that she was aged, but we do know that she was barren and that she desired a child, and God heard her, and Samuel was born. And then Samson's mother, the wife of Manoah, a woman of great faith, but we were not given her name. Manoah was not so heroic, and we have his name. But Manoah's wife, Samson's mother, she was barren as well. And the angel appeared and granted her a child who would be a deliverer of the nation Israel. So Zacharias was rebuked and was made mute for at least 9 months. And it's very interesting that when John was born, Elizabeth said, he shall be called John. And everyone round about said, no, it can't be. There's no one in your family of that name. And she said, ask Zacharias. And they went to him. And he wrote down, not, that's right, he shall be called John. He wrote down, his name is John, because he had already been given that name by the angel. And upon that, his tongue was loosed, and he praised God, as you would find later on in the chapter. On the other hand, when Gabriel appeared 6 months later to Mary, his message to Mary was of something which was intrinsically impossible. His message to her was of something that had never happened before, that a virgin should bear a son. And there are many miraculous things, but this is a miracle that had not happened before. And we know the reason why the Lord should have been born of a virgin, to avoid the taint of Adam and to be the Holy One born of Mary. And Gabriel and Mary said, I'm a virgin. How can it be? And in this particular case, Gabriel answered her question. And he said that she would she would bear a child by the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit. And so for Elizabeth and for her, they were both in the hands of God. And Gabriel said, for Elizabeth, it was impossible because she was past age. For you, it is impossible because you are a virgin. But we have these words of Gabriel, but with God, nothing will be impossible. Neither of these things is too hard for God. And what happened was that Mary bowed in faith and submission. She called herself the handmaid of the Lord, the maidservant of the Lord. And she bowed in submission. Sarah, hundreds of years before, she laughed when she heard of what the message of the angel concerning her having a son. Zacharias, a learned priest, well versed in the scriptures, he disbelieved. But this teenage girl, when confronted with this heavenly angelic visitor, she bowed, she worshipped, and she said, let it be to me according to your word. So Mary bowed in faith and submission. Now, I want us to think particularly of these words of Gabriel, where he said, "For with God nothing will be impossible." Now, he spoke with the authority of an eyewitness, because all the angels were created at the beginning. And we read in Job that the angels rejoiced at the creation of the world. So he was one of the morning stars, or the sons of God, who sang together and shouted for joy at the foundation of the world. They were all there, created, and saw the creation. He had seen the power of God. He had seen God bringing the world into being out of nothing. He was an eyewitness. And the angels have everlasting life, so he had also seen not only God call the worlds into being, he had seen God destroy the world at the flood and preserve Noah. He had seen all the mighty works of God throughout history. And so he was well able to assure Mary with these words, because he knew, he'd seen it. His God, whom he served, was all-powerful. With God, nothing shall be impossible. And so we learn from this that the invincible power of God is at the root of all the promises of God. God's promises are true and certain, because with God, nothing is impossible. If we consider the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, his birth was miraculous, a virgin birth. But it was impossible, naturally. But with God, nothing is impossible. But then when he was born into the world, he was an infant. Herod hated him. The evil one was wanting to destroy him. This infant, defenseless and vulnerable, he was kept by the power of God. Joseph and Mary were told to flee to Egypt until Herod, who sought his life, was dead. He was kept by the power of God. The Saviour was promised, and he came according to the power of God. But that Saviour had to grow, and had to minister, and had to live. And how else would he be kept if it were not for the fact that with God all things are possible? So behind the events of the Saviour's life was the power of God at work, and the ministry of the angels of God. While he was ministering in Israel, they plotted to destroy him, the Pharisees and the rulers. And they tried to seize him. But time after time, we read that the Lord just passed among them and went from them. And what's the reason given? That his time had not yet come. So the Lord's life and his ministry, it was all according to the protective and supreme power of God. Humanly speaking, the Lord's ministry, the Lord's life, would have been impossible because of his enemies. But God restrained them, God controlled them, and he was able to minister, and he showed himself to be the Son of God with power by his miracles and by his mighty works. And then, when his time came, he wasn't overcome when he went to the cross. He willingly went to the cross. When they came to take him, and he looked at them and said, "Who do you want?" Do you remember what happened? They all fell backwards at who he was. His power overcame them. But they got up, and mad with hatred, they were permitted to take him and crucify him. Even this was under the mighty hand of God, and even what he was doing was according to God's almighty power. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ was one of those impossible things, but with God all things are possible. And on the cross, he yielded himself to go to the cross, but he, when his time come, when he had suffered, when he had borne our sins in his time upon the cross, when it was finished, when he had absorbed all the wrath of God, the Lord Jesus Christ bowed his head and he said, "It is finished." And he said, "Father, into your hands I yield my spirit." And so we see again a situation where everything was under control. A world going mad with sin, going mad with hatred, but the purposes of God were according to what he wanted to do. And remember when the people of God prayed in Acts of the Apostles, they said that he came and the people were against him to do whatsoever your hand and purposes had planned to do. So the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled all his work because with God nothing is impossible. He came as a weak child. He lived an obscure life for 30 years. He offered himself upon the cross, all because it was the purpose and all because it was in the hands of God. And when the Lord Jesus Christ suffered upon the cross, he conquered Satan, that great enemy, the one when Michael the archangel was contending with him. Michael did not dare bring an accusation against Satan, even though he was fallen. He was a fallen archangel. And what did Michael say? "The Lord rebuke you." Even the mighty archangel could not destroy Satan. But the Lord Jesus Christ conquered him upon the cross. He made a show of the powers of darkness openly, and he conquered him. He bore the sins of his people, and so he was able to deliver the captives of Satan and deliver them to become his own people. And then when the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, his victory over Satan was made manifest, because what did Satan have? The power of death, and that was the power of sin, and that was taken away when the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And he ascended, and he is in heaven now, seated at God's right hand, and there in the throne of heaven, among the Godhead, they are working out God's mighty purpose, and nothing will be impossible. The day of Pentecost and the birth and growth of the church, in human terms, impossible, but not with God. Because by the mere preaching of the word, by the mere preaching of a message, the Holy Spirit worked in the hearts of sinners, and the church grew, the church multiplied, and it was the mighty work of God. And down through the centuries, the astonishing spread of the gospel by weak human means. It's impossible, isn't it, that a sinner should be changed around merely by someone talking to him or her. A mere conversation, a mere message cannot change the heart of the sinner. But with God, nothing is impossible. That same message, with the power of the Holy Spirit, is used and does change the hearts and the lives of multitudes. Those of us here this morning who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been changed because nothing is impossible with God. Our hearts were hard. We were in an impossible situation. We couldn't help ourselves. We didn't want to. Yet when God, by His Spirit, worked upon us, we were turned round and brought to the Saviour. The new birth shows that nothing is impossible with God. So the Lord Jesus Christ is gathering in His people, those for whom He shed His blood. And the work goes on. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come again. And the world is going to be destroyed, the earth that is. And that is an impossibility. No atom bomb could set off the destruction of the world. The world is to be burned up. That is impossible, but it is not impossible with God, and He will do it. And from the ashes He will set up the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness will dwell, and the eternal state will ensue. And all because it is what God is doing, it is His purpose, and nothing is impossible with God. But finally, what about here and now? What about in the meantime, until that day comes? Well, what about you? And what about me? How can I possibly last out until the Lord calls me home? Because, you see, of ourselves, we have so little strength. You know, if we were left to ourselves, by next Sunday, there would be no one here. We would have all drifted back, sunk back into sin and into the world. And this place would be empty. Empty of true believers, anyway. But why is it that we've kept coming? Why is it that we've kept serving the Lord week after week, day after day, year after year? Well, it's because there is a power at work within us which is utterly different from our own power. And we have that power which is described here by Gabriel as being possible to bring about that which is impossible with men. But nothing is impossible with God. You and I, if we were left to ourselves, it would be impossible for us to reach glory. But we're not. And God, by His Spirit, He indwells the hearts of every one of His people. And what an amazing thing that the Almighty God should indwell every one of His people. And that's why we will reach glory, because nothing is impossible with God. It is He who keeps us. And will we persevere? Not in our own strength, but we will in the power of God, because God has promised to do so. And so, over history, churches rise and fall. Churches grow and diminish. The church at Ephesus was a flourishing church, but it withered away because they left the truth. But as churches rise and fall, and other churches rise in their place, as churches grow and diminish, in it all, God is working out His purposes. He has His people here and there, and He sends preachers to them, and a church comes into being where the gospel is preached and where it hasn't been heard before. And as time goes on over the centuries, Christ has been gathering in everyone for whom He shed His blood. And all His people will be preserved and will come to glory. Because in this unbelieving world, a church which is despised by the world is kept by the power of God. And with God, nothing shall be called impossible. So Gabriel knew what he was saying. It was not just a message that he had been given. He knew the power of God. He had observed it. And the working out of God's purposes is described in Peter, that this working out, it's something that the angels desire to look into. They are looking down and observing God at work in His church, amongst His people. And they're all agreeing with Gabriel. And they're all saying, yes, it's true. Nothing will be impossible with God. And they rejoice to see the work of God. May God enable us to trust in Him. May God enable us to have this view of the life that we lead as God's people, and that we are involved in this battle, but we are on the winning side, and all God's enemies will one day be destroyed. May God enable us to love Him and honor Him and serve Him. Amen.